Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Our guest today on Keeping the Faith is Jennifer Walling, who's the executive director and has been for about the last 18 months or so of the Illinois Environmental Council. We're talking with her by phone in her office in Springfield, Illinois. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, how are you doing?
We have a great connection.
Good.
How did you happen to want to work for the Illinois Environmental Council?
You know, I think that this has been something that I've been working up to for a very long time. You know, I have a strong interest in environment and in government, and in this position, I get to do a lot of work at the state policy level in Springfield, working with the state legislature on environmental issues, and those are both things that I love working on. So this position was just a great fit, and I've been doing work. You know, I worked for a state senator before this. I worked in environmental policy. I have degrees in environmental science from U of I. So this has been a really nice fit. I've been working for it for a while.
You have an undergraduate degree and a master's degree from the University of Illinois in natural resources and environmental sciences, and then you went to law school here as well.
Yep.
And when you graduated from law school, did you know that you were going to focus on this interest of yours?
Well, I didn't quite know that policy was where I was going with it. I knew I wanted to work, you know, I thought I wanted to work in environmental law, and, you know, I quickly realized that a lot of environmental law takes a long time to accomplish things, and I don't have a lot of patience. So, you know, working on this stuff is, you know, sometimes it takes a really long time to make a difference, but, you know, we're often able to see little things happen every session, and that's very satisfying.
You were on Keeping the Faith back in 2006. I checked my records, and you were talking then about the Students for Environmental Concerns here at the University of Illinois. You've been active in that as an undergraduate and as a graduate student and in law school. How you did it all, I'll never know. But you and the then president of SCC, Students for Environmental Concerns, SECS, Joe Tang, were on this program talking about some of the student programs. And I was very pleased to see that a very recent activity or success for the Illinois Environmental Council that you head is to bring in student groups from all over the state of Illinois to be part of the Illinois Environmental Council.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've been lucky to have received from another organization, the Illinois Student Environment Coalition. And, you know, several years ago, I was also involved with the Illinois Student Environmental Network that Laura Huth started and ran out of Urbana for many years. And, you know, I was very supportive of the organization there and, you know, have always had an interest in that. And it's been very, I'm very lucky to have been able to take it on as a program within our organization. So, you know, we're sort of just getting started because we're taking it over from another group, but working on networking those groups and developing leadership and introducing students to people in Illinois who can help them develop their environmental careers and environmental lives, I guess. So really looking forward to the work we're doing on that.
And I saw doing a little bit of research on your Illinois Environmental Council very good website that there are 47 of those student organizations that are involved
now. Yeah, there's something like 32 campuses all over the state. And, you know, they've had, in the past, this group has had a successful conference every fall and spring. And in the spring, we bring the students with us for the environment. You know, IEC represents the environmental community. We have about 60 different organizations, not student groups. This is different. But we get together and have our lobby day every spring and bring a couple of busloads down to Springfield. And we've been very privileged to have a number of students join us. And a lot of students from Urbana-Champaign have come every year, and it's just very powerful, and we learn a lot.
We're talking with Jennifer Walling. Jen and I have known each other for a long time when I was at the University of YMCA here at the University of Illinois. She was president of the Students for Environmental Concerns and later president of the Y, Student Y Board. And I've watched her career over a couple decades almost, I guess. And it's wonderful to see you in this very important position now. Jen, do you happen to know, since this program, this radio program is heard not only in eastern and northern Illinois, even up to Chicago and over to Indianapolis, do other states like Indianapolis have something similar to the Illinois Environmental Council?
Yeah, actually, with the, you know, the Illinois Environmental Council, there are similar organizations in several different states. In Indiana, for example, it's the Hoosier Environmental Council. And what sort of groups us together, some groups are coalitions like we are, and I think Hoosier Environmental Council is as well, that they represent a number of different groups that do work in Indiana. But, you know, what we all have in common is doing state-level work, and we're part of a group called the State Environmental Leadership Program, where, you know, the different environmental councils from different states get together each year. So, you know, I also get to talk to executive directors of other environmental councils, and that's very, very enlightening. I think we're doing some very good work in Illinois.
Let me tell listeners how they can join our conversation, Jen. This program is live. We're broadcasting today, the 8th of July, 2012. And if you'd like to call in and ask a question, you may do that, of course. If it's in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, in the 217 area code, you may punch in 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. If you're listening long distance, perhaps even on the Internet, you may call in toll-free 1-800-222-9455. And if you miss part of this program or have to leave and want to hear the rest of it at your convenience on many electronic devices, you can go online to will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith and leave the G off of keeping, and you'll find all of our archive programs there, and you can listen at your own convenience. Again, that's will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith. Jennifer Walling, when you started this job 18 months ago as executive director of IEC, what were the challenges you saw ahead at that time?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of different challenges that we're working with a number of different groups on. You know, one of them is just intrinsic into how Springfield works, just in terms of, you know, we have a lot of different environmental groups that are doing state-level policy work and trying to influence the state level. And we're going up against a lot of interests that have far more money, better relationships with legislators, you know, just a lot of advantages. So, or a lot of advantages over our community. So, you know, getting the environmental community working together and focused, that's really why IEC even exists, is to bring all those different environmental groups together so we have more power in Springfield. And, you know, that's a challenge because a lot of people have different ways they'd like to accomplish strategy and different goals they'd like to accomplish. And so every year we have to sit down, we have to discuss, and have to figure out what the best way is to work on that strategy. And so that's a huge thing. And just, you know, the other thing that we're really working on as a strategic goal is just also related to that sort of building power one of the things that we worked on last year and into this year that we really focused on was building diversity in the environmental community. We had done a lot of work last year on bringing in some groups to work on environmental justice and put together an environmental justice commission through state law last year. And that's been a really great way to involve new people in the environmental community. So those were two things we really focused on coming in. And, you know, the first one is still, strategy is still a challenge, and we're still working on that. But those were two big ones.
What have been some of your successes in the last 18 months? Some of the things you're most proud of?
Sure. Well, you know, there's been a number of really good bills that I've gotten through in the last couple of years. Last year, I think the biggest one that comes to mind is an update to the electronic waste recycling law. A couple of years ago, we passed a law that required manufacturers to be responsible for electronic waste, and just found out through the first year that maybe some of the calculations weren't as good as they should be. And, this last year we, fixed the electronic waste recycling law. And, you know, I think that consumers all over the state are really seeing an impact with electronic waste. Like, there's a lot of different places that you can take it now that you couldn't before. You can very easily look into who your local retailers are who will accept electronic waste. And that's a big deal, and it's something that definitely has an impact on folks' lives.
Give us a list of some of the things that are electronic waste.
Sure. Well, so the law is very specific. I'd have to actually give you... I know that things like computers are included in that law, and I think we updated it for things like printers,
televisions,
players, yeah, televisions, big electronic waste like that. And we updated this year to include things, cell phones are in there. And, there's a number of different things that count towards a manufacturer's goal that they need to meet.
Okay.
So,
does the law charge the consumer something for bringing this kind of waste to these recycling centers?
It does not. They're supposed to collect it for free.
Okay.
I know that it costs manufacturers money, but, at the same time, we're dealing with this electronic waste being something that can be a huge contaminant. If you're putting it in a landfill, it's something that the parts and pieces can contaminate water and soil, and, we just want to make sure it's taken care of as well as possible. And in addition, many of these electronic devices have very valuable materials for recycling in them, so there is a development of some market with electronic waste. So that's been very exciting, and that was definitely something that got done last year. So... that was a big one. And then, I think this year, this year was very interesting because some of our biggest goals, which I'll talk about a little later, I think we didn't accomplish. But I think the biggest thing we did accomplish had to do with regulation of concentrated animal feeding operations. And these are industrial farms that have a large number of animals on them, and there were some, they're not supposed to discharge anything into waterways from the way that the state law is written, but some of them do, and it can be just devastating to an area of a stream. And this is a bill that Prairie Rivers Network in Champaign worked very hard on, and Environment Illinois in Chicago. The bill that we got done establishes permit fees for these CAFOs. And before, they were just getting a permit totally free, and they were the only industry in the state of Illinois that got a free permit to discharge into waterways. So while that doesn't sound like a huge success, it really was very big in terms of giving funding to the EPA to be able to enforce this problem and look at who potential dischargers might be and really get to fixing the problem of this waste going into our waterways. So, you know, that was a very long, hard-fought bill, and that was something that happened this year that was, I think, probably our biggest success this year.
Jen, when you talk about these concentrated animal feeding operations, these confinement beef, sheep, hog operations, huge operations with so many animals coming through, do you find sometimes you're in conflict with concerns like at the University of Illinois that have a large agricultural operation, and they have model farms that show people how to do this who are studying animal science. Did you notice when you were a student that there was conflict going on just like at the university as well as within the state?
Well, you know, and I was at the University of Illinois, with my environmental science degree. I was in the College of Agriculture, Consumer and Environmental Sciences. I think there are some environmentalists or environmental groups that really don't want these industrial facilities to exist at all, just because of their polluting nature and that sort of stuff. I just don't know that that's a practical solution to any of this. One of the things I think the University of Illinois does very well, and it was the same in, I was a, did a lot of soil science classes, so I took a lot of classes in crop science with ag, ag and soil conservation. And, I think the University of Illinois tries to teach people, the very best practices for not polluting. Doesn't always work. There are some people that I think, a lot of these farms, it's not an individual family farm anymore, although a lot of individual family farmers do invest in these large facilities just as an investment opportunity, although they won't be the ones running them. They'll be an investor in it. There are some people that just don't follow the best guidelines for it. And, like I said, our Livestock Management Facilities Act says you're not supposed to discharge anything ever into a waterway, but there are a number that do. So, I guess it's just a case of bad actors out there who, are really causing a big problem. And, at least I think this law goes partially the way towards addressing that. So that's a good thing, but obviously there's still more to work on.
On Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking with Jennifer Walling, who is the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Her office is in Springfield. Their website is, could you give the address for us, Jen, for people who want to follow up?
Sure. It's ilenviro.org, and that's ilenviro.org. That's our website.
ilenviro.org. All right.
ro.org.
ro.org. All right.
Yep.
Sorry.
Perfect.
I found it all right, but I just did a search. So if there are listeners who have questions for Jed Walling, do give us a call. 333-9455 is the number to punch in if you're in the 217 local area code near Champaign-Urbana. If it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455 is a toll-free call. And again, if you've missed part of this program and want to hear it online, go to will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. I've been gone for a couple of weeks. I want to thank Don Nolan for filling in, and Stan Yanchis, and for the good interviews they did while I was traveling. It is nice to be back and in cooler weather here, finally, in central Illinois. Now, if we could just get some more widespread rain, that'll be the biggest help for crops and trees and flowers and a lot of things, vegetables. Jen, when you were talking about some of the successes you had this last year, but you said some of the really big issues you've been working on in the state legislature in Springfield, you didn't have the success or there wasn't any action taken. Tell us about some of those things that you're still working on, and then we'll talk about how listeners might be able to get involved to be helpful.
Sure. You know, I think there's just a few things we're still working on over the summer. You know, I think probably to me, I guess personally, one of the more devastating things that happened had to do with a bill that would provide solid, reliable funding to the Department of Natural Resources, which, as you know, the Department of Natural Resources is in charge of our state parks, our waterways, just protecting our natural resources in Illinois. And the department has been cut in half over the last 8 years, like just literally cut in half. Employees, there's half as many employees as there used to be. And, you know, it makes it very difficult to actually protect our natural resources with that cut in funding. So very difficult, and we had a bill that, you know, would have charged a license fee to fund the Department of Natural Resources and been really stable source and took it up to a more reasonable level. And that bill, we were working on it up until the last minute. I literally got through the House the very last day and then went over to the Senate. Didn't get called into committee until 11 o'clock at night. They called it in committee and then got out really fast. And then there was a bill right after it that took too much time, so our bill didn't get called until after midnight. And when a bill gets called after midnight on May 31st, it goes from needing 30 votes, needing 36. And, you know, we had been planning all along and, you know, working on this for, you know, the direct lobbying effort for 8 months.
Wow.
And, yeah, and the issue for years, but definitely 8 months lobbying legislators on this. And, you know, they worked and worked and worked to try to get the 36 votes, and they called the bill at 1:30 in the morning. And the highest it ever got was 34 votes.
Wow.
So, you know, that was and it was the very last bill. It was an awful way to end a session, you know, because that's something that...
So close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the director is definitely talking about whether there might be state park closures because of what happened. And, you know, the tourism, all of that from these state parks, it's really just going to be, it's going to be something that is irreversible. It's just the damage that happens from not being able to care for these natural areas. So,
and the state, you know, waterways are so extensive in Illinois.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where it's just really a land of mighty rivers, and oh boy.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are still working on this bill over the summer, and I think the bill is going to come up for a vote again during veto session, and, you know, we've heard that there's enough votes on it. But, you know, this was one that we generated hundreds and hundreds of letters on, and, you know, there are a lot of legislators that are very supportive of this bill. And actually, you know, from the vote, a majority of legislators supported the bill. So, you know, at least that was a success that we know the support's out there.
Where would the fees come from? You said licensing fees.
Yeah. So, you know, they tossed around a lot of different ideas for how we would do this because, you know, right now our state parks are free in Illinois. And most of the states around us charge a user fee. And we went through different ideas for how the fee would be generated, you know, whether it be something that you pay as you're entering, whether it be a permit fee for the season, that sort of stuff. And in the end, the bill that just made the most sense was basically everybody pays on their license for state parks. And, you know, it was just a more fair way to distribute it and a lot less, you know, when the department looked at how you would actually collect it. You know, just some of our state parks, they have restaurants in it that are unrelated to the parks. You'd have to have exemptions for people visiting the businesses, or there's at least one state park where you literally can drive straight through it. And, you know, people use it as a commuting road because there's a road going through it. And some of the larger parks, it might have been more feasible to do the collection at the entrance, but they were finding that it just didn't fit with all the state parks that we have in Illinois. And so this was just going to be something. There's a user fee fairly applied to everybody in the state and would fund our state parks. So that one, you know, still working on. And but, you know, obviously 1:30 in the morning is a terrible time to lose. So that was my, I guess it was June 1st by that point.
So we're getting very, very recent information about this from Jennifer Walling, the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Jennifer, tell us a little bit about how you are funded.
Sure. You know, we have some foundation money, and actually, you know, we get most of our money from individuals and organizations that fund us. You know, I said we had 60 different member organizations, and that's groups like the Sierra Club of Illinois or Prairie Rivers Network, Environment Illinois. Those are all very large groups that are part of our affiliate structure. And those are, you know, those groups count on us to provide, to be in Springfield and really provide timely information and just be there to make sure there's no funny business, I guess, because you really have to be there every day that they're in session, because something can just pop up out of nowhere. So, you know, and then we have a lot of individual members that fund us as well. We used to have a lot more foundation money, but, you know, I think a lot of nonprofits have been dealing with, you know, losses in foundation money. I mean, one of our great funders from East Central Illinois is the Lumpkin Foundation. They've been very supportive even through this economy, so that's been really great. But, you know, it's really great just to have the support of our member affiliates and so many individuals in Illinois.
Now, what is the difference between the Education Fund and the IEC?
Sure. Well, so, you know, we're a little different than some nonprofits because we also have a 501c3, which is our education fund, and then we have a 501c4, and it's just that we do so much lobbying work. We don't do political work, so we don't do endorsements of candidates, but we do a lot of lobbying work, and so we also have a C4 organization where, you know, folks pay into that's not tax-deductible. And so we do a lot of lobbying work through our C4 organization. And so, you know, the two organizations work together but also separately, and it just enables us to have more freedom to do lobbying work in Springfield. And especially, you know, foundations don't really fund direct lobbying work. They'll fund policy work and that sort of stuff, but it's harder to actually get money to do the lobbying on behalf of the community. So that's what we raise that out of the C4 to make sure we're adequately represented.
We're about halfway through our program today here on Keeping the Faith. You're listening to WILL 580 AM or perhaps even on 90.9 FM HD3 if you have one of those nice high-tech HD radios. It's also being heard live online at will.illinois.edu/AM. And you can, of course, go to the archive programs by going to that same web address with /keepingthefaith anytime and see the whole lineup of our programs and listen to any of them at your convenience. My name is Steve Shoemaker. We'll be getting back to Jen Walling in just a moment, who's the Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Coming up next week, we're going to be talking with Ardella Perry Osler. Ardella has written a book that came out just this year called Learning to Love Olivia, A Daughter's Journal of her mother's journey through Alzheimer's. That'll be July 15 here on Keeping the Faith on WILL. On July 22nd, our guest will be David Crowley. He'll be talking about some of interesting books in Christian theology that he's been reading over the last several years. And well, we've had a couple other shows where we've talked about books and people have found them very helpful. So we're going to do that this time on Christian Thought with David Crowley. On August 5th, we'll be learning about the Solar Decathlon House from a recent University of Illinois graduate, Sean Denny, who has headed up that student project that had great success in Washington, D.C., in a competition among universities to come up with a house that's very environmentally friendly. On August 12th, couple folks from the Protestants for Common Good will be our guests, Laura Dean Frederick and Courtney Eccles, who will be talking about some of the programs and ethical issues that have been dealt with recently by Protestants for the Common Good. Later in August, on the 26th, we'll be talking with Elizabeth Meyer Bolton about the SALT Project, which is a new media project trying to show progressive religious thoughts in attractive ways to young people. So that's August 26. Later in September, we'll be talking with the executive director of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Illinois, Christine Gattinzenait, and we'll be talking with Christine about programs of OLLI that are available to people within driving distance of the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. Those are some of the programs coming up ahead. I encourage you to listen as you're able. Well, let's get back to talking about the Illinois Environmental Council. I hate to bring this up, but what happens with fracking?
Oh, yeah, nothing happened with fracking again, which is very unfortunate. Just for some basic background, there's a new type of hydraulic fracturing. We've been doing hydraulic fracturing in all over the country and even in Illinois for a very long time. But there is a new type which, instead of just going down vertically, bores are also drilled out horizontally very deep into the earth, and lots and lots of water and chemicals are injected to basically cause a mini earthquake, and that releases natural gas. And Illinois hasn't really seen this practice yet, but Pennsylvania and Ohio have seen it, and it has just caused some very big problems with water contamination. And, a lot of it is from afterward, you suck all that water back up, and it's very contaminated, and if you're not very careful with it, gets into drinking water, gets into well water. People have experienced earthquakes. So, scary stuff. I don't say that lightly because, we've seen the effects of it, people have been living with the effects of it the last few years as this practice has grown. And so in Illinois, we haven't had it happen yet, but we have layers of shale in Illinois, south of I-80, and then basically I think the best shale for fracking, this new type of fracking, is in the bottom six-ish counties of the state, Union, Jackson, down there. And so we have been working for 2 years to try to get some regulation on this as the practice starts. Things like disclosing the chemicals that are going in, really, really strict standards for the wastewater that comes out. For another year in a row, we weren't able to come to an agreement about this legislation. And so, we're definitely going to be seeing this coming to Illinois this summer. We've been told by the oil and gas industry that they have invested a lot in leasing lands and, that they've started to do test wells. And, another scary part of it as we've been going into the summer, we've been wondering if we would be able to get information on when it starts and where it's actually occurring. And because we haven't passed new laws on this, they're going to be able to use the old hydraulic fracturing permit for just a vertical well to do these new horizontal wells. And so there's not going to be any additional information. And it's basically a permit that's very short, gets filled out, and is automatically rubber stamped in a couple of days. And literally, it can be a couple of days once it gets into the department and all the information's available. So it's a practice that's coming to Illinois. And, you know, I guess where we're at now with this is, you know, we worked a long time with the oil and gas industry and with legislators to try to pass something. And I think at this point, the practice that we're calling for is to have a moratorium on this practice until we can come up with adequate regulations, because we don't have them now, and we don't want to have to write regulations after a tragedy's happened or after something awful has happened in some county in Illinois. So, you know, last year we had a bill that we had worked out that was very weak, that had to do with chemical disclosure and wastewater standards, that wasn't able to get through the House. And we think that, you know, some of the leadership has a real interest in this bill and actually passing something very strong in Illinois, just to protect our water. And so it is kind of scary going into the summer without any regulation, any additional regulation on this practice. But, you know, we're continuing to work on it and continuing to engage people in it. I think, you know, there are some very active groups. SAFE in Southern Illinois is actually seeing a lot of this happening right in their backyard and keeping tabs on it. The Sierra Club in Southern Illinois has been doing pretty well water testing of places that might see this new type of fracking so that individual homeowners can protect it. You know, even when we were working on this bill, we had a lot of support even from the Farm Bureau, just in terms of, you know, not the final, the final bill that we, you know, a two-year moratorium did get out of committee in the last day, but, you know, we even saw support from the Farm Bureau just in terms of chemical disclosure and protecting landowners and really, you know, keeping the wastewater safe and out of well water and out of drinking water, because that's really important to farmers in Illinois. So we worked with a lot of different people on this, but still weren't able to get anything passed this year. So, you know, Faith in Place, especially Brian Slaughter working on a Champaign, put a lot of time into this and a lot of work into it. And, you know, I've just been super impressed by the faith community in Illinois and their involvement in general with this bill, just all over the state, congregations through Faith in Place and, you know, Protestants of the Common Good. It's been really, really fantastic. I mean, Faith in Place brought two buses down for Lobby Day, and their focus was really on this issue. So I think we're going to win, but, you know, it was a pretty tough loss to not win this year. So, you know, that's what's going on. That's the update with fracking. And I know it's probably an issue that a lot of your listeners are paying attention to, so glad you asked.
Let's invite listeners again to join this conversation on the air. We know a lot of people are shy and are happy just to listen. That's fine. But if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, do give us a call, 333-9455 in the Champaign-Urbana local community area, 217. If it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455. We'll put you in contact with our studio here in Urbana, and our good engineer, Kyle Crow, will answer the phone and put you in line to talk with our guest, Jen Walling. Her last name is spelled W-A-L-L-I-N-G. She's the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. She's a University of Illinois graduate, both a bachelor's and master's in environmental science and natural resources, and also graduated from the University of Illinois Law School back in, was that 2006?
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in your resume that you interned for an interesting person when he was Lieutenant Governor Patrick Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get that position?
Gosh, so, you know, actually, I always tell this story when I'm talking to students about how I got to intern for then-Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn. And, you know, of course, going to U of I, the classes I took were extremely valuable. But especially with things like policy, relationships are just very important. And, you know, as I met you, I was at working with the Students for Environmental Concerns. And there actually was, right after Pat Quinn became Lieutenant Governor, we had held a little forum on energy at the University YMCA. And, you know, Pat Quinn came to speak, and we'd set it all up for him and just did a little thing on energy and energy efficiency. And, you know, I just, as a student introducing him, said a few words. And afterward, his staff grabbed my arm and said, "You have to intern for him this summer." So they called me and they bugged me, and then I went for an interview with him and worked for him for two different summers. And, you know, it's really fantastic, you know, kind of an ego boost that every time I see the governor, he knows my name.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's definitely from interning for him. There'll be people around me who are far more important than I am, you know, and the governor knows me from having interned for him. So,
and
you know, there's something.
It doesn't hurt as you're pushing for certain good policies, I'm sure.
No. We actually just saw him because we asked for a veto on this plastic bag bill that
Jennifer, I need to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Jennifer, I'm sorry. I need to interrupt you because we have a cell phone user who's on the line. We want to go to line number one, and we'll get back to the plastic bag in just a minute.
Yeah, no problem.
Go ahead, line number one.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I don't know what kind of policies, water use policies, your group is pushing for. And you talked about the Farm Bureau a little bit, and one thing that seems to really need overhauling in the Midwest is the drainage district and their relationship to the land and the water. And City of Champaign is having a bad time with drainage and pushing water out into the drainage district, and erosion is a terrible problem with the drainage districts, and trying to make 90-degree turns and runoff, et cetera. And we need to go to a whole new system of wetlands and water retention on the land. Is your group working with this kind of problem?
You know, we've worked on that issue from a number of different angles, and I think I'm pretty confident in saying that, you know, something that would rework that system is something we'd support. You know, I know we've supported in the past, for example, you know, the Soil and Water Conservation Districts just statewide lost a lot of state money, so a lot of them have merged and combined anyway. And then, you know, I know we've worked on issues like, you know, there's a lot of legal issues with, for example, removing tile drainage or changing the drainage system on your own property, just because, you know, if you, for example, remove tile drainage and your neighbor's property gets flooded and they lose their crop, you might be legally liable for that, even though, you know, maybe we don't need that that system in that place. So, you know, I think it's definitely something we support, but, you know, that's probably, you know, I don't know where the legislation for that sort of thing would come from.
So it's not a, that issue. I mean, it seems like it's a really critical area to work on policy. and develop policy. And is that what your group does?
Well, you know, we actually have a huge platform of different issues, just anything from water, air, energy. So we represent 60 different environmental groups, and a lot of those are a little more specific, like they specifically address water issues. So, you know, something like that probably couldn't be something that we propose, but it would be something that we'd support. And, you know, you've given me some thoughts into who might address that sort of thing. But we do, you know, we do look at water conservation and pollution issues in general. So, you know, that's obviously very involved in the work that, we're doing. But I don't know where, you know, that might be something where you should write to your local legislators and see if they're willing to sponsor something like that. I'm not super sure about how you'd start it and how you'd rewrite that statute, but, you know.
Well, the entrenchment is incredible. And you had mentioned the Farm Bureau earlier, and farmers, even though I know the Mahomet District spends 90% of their budget every year to keep one 90-degree turn in their drainage district over there viable. And I know it's a huge entrenched there are a lot of interests that keep things going the way they are. But so I didn't know whether your group actually pushed for, you know, new things or took their cues from other groups or what.
Yeah, you know, we in your exactly we more take our group our cues from other environmental groups as to the things exactly that we work on. But, you know, we do a lot of coordination among different groups, for example, on water issues. So, you know, that could possibly fall into some purview of work. Well, just water conservation and water quality definitely fit into our purview. But I know there's a lot of political and legal issues with drainage districts. So,
yeah, cut all their funding. That would be my the water drainage.
I suppose to make a bad pun, to say that the drainage districts are entrenched is an understatement.
I think they do a lot of good work, but you know, he's definitely right in saying that the way that they're put together is tough, and you know, we really need to look in general at how we do. How we work our policy with dealing with water. You know, there's a lot smarter ways to deal with it, whether it's a rural setting or an urban setting, and there are a lot of groups working on it, but it is a tough issue to tackle overall. And actually, I find, you know, we have a few water bills every year that have to do with water pollution, water quality, and although everybody says they support water quality and water conservation, you know, that's something very easy for anybody to say that they support. Those are the bills that we find pass the least. And so, you know, I don't quite know why that is.
I'll thank the caller for raising that issue. And other listeners, we've done our last 5 or 6 minutes, but if you have a short question, do give us a call, 333-9455, or long distance 1-800-222-9455. Talking with Jennifer Walling from the Illinois Environmental Council. If you'd like to learn more about their operation, their activities, go to ilenviro.org for information. Jennifer, give us a quick overview of some of the other areas that you represent these 60 other environmental groups in the state of Illinois. On. You mentioned water, you've mentioned energy. What are some of the others?
Sure. You know, water, energy, air pollution, recycling and solid waste is another big issue, toxics, open space is another huge one. And so, you know, under our website, we have a thing that says issues, which actually I shouldn't point out because we don't have enough information under those yet, but we have the issues listed that we work on in general. There's about 7 different ones. And, you know, we have groups that work on everything, any of those issues that I talked about. And then we have groups that just work on water, or we have groups that just work on something very specific, like Safer Pest Control Project, actually started out of the Illinois Environmental Council, and, you know, they're their own organization now and have been for years, actually. But they specifically work on minimizing pesticides and, you know, having less pesticide exposure or making pesticides safer. So, you know, that's a very specific issue that they're working on. So
we have we have a caller again on line number one. Let's sneak in another caller. Go ahead, line number one.
Hi. I have one question at least. Is there anything comparable to the Northeastern U.S. Regional States Initiative on Climate Change that's being considered in the Midwest?
You know, I really don't think there is. I mean, I know that there are a lot of Midwestern regional work that we do together, and I wouldn't be surprised if there have been attempts at Midwestern climate change work, but nothing like what is happening with the Northeastern.
Okay. All right, and the second question I had was back to the fracking for a minute. I heard that there was some consideration of national level regulations. Do you know if that's anywhere in the near future? I guess it depends on how the election turns out, probably. But beyond that, do you know much about that?
Yeah, you know, I know, and I don't know whether these actually have taken into place or they've just proposed rules. There have been some ways the federal government has been looking at regulating fracking, and one of the things is especially air pollution from fracking. That's something that I think is much harder for us to do at the state level anyway, and it's never been really something that we've considered in our legislation. But the air pollution has been a big deal, and I know that there's been some talk nationally of things like prohibiting diesel from being injected, because it's one of the compounds that causes more problems that has been involved. But, you know, even if the federal government does some stuff on it, I imagine that there's still going to have to be work that we do on our state level just in terms of siting of wells and protecting our local property owners. But, you know, I know that there have been things proposed, but I don't think they're actually in effect yet. But I might be wrong on that one.
Okay. Well, I imagine you need to wrap up there. So thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for the questions. Jen, one thing we left hanging was you asked Governor Quinn for a veto on something that had to do with plastic bags. What was that?
Yeah, and, you know, this is a great thing to end on because the city of Champaign has been very involved. There was a bill that passed through that would prohibit municipalities from regulating plastic bags usage in any way. So, you know, you couldn't do a banner fee on plastic bags. You couldn't even do a recycling take-back program or other requirements on plastic bags. So this bill passed very narrowly, and a lot of people, I think, didn't know what it did because it was called the Plastic Bag and Film Recycling Act. And, yeah, it puts together a statewide recycling program for plastic bags. But when we did the math on the program, we realized that it's only going to recycle an additional 0.1% of plastic bags, and that won't happen until 2015. So, you know, we'd gone through the bill, and it's just a problem. Actually, the city of Champaign and Mayor Girard have been very vocal. He's been very vocal. Not, you know, obviously the city of Champaign has been considering those proposals to do something about plastic bag usage. But, you know, he's just been very, very upset that they're taking away local government's right to regulate something. You know, we have a very strong home rule privilege in the state of Illinois, and this would remove it for all those communities. So, you know, he was just at a press conference with, there's this little girl who, 12-year-old from Grays Lake, who was trying to ban plastic bags in her community as a school project. I know, which is an awesome school project, but she has collected 150,000 signatures at this point against the bill. And so we just did a press conference on that Tuesday and asked the governor to veto, and he actually showed up himself to accept the 150,000 signatures from this 12-year-old. So I'm hoping we can get that one vetoed because, you know, it's definitely very bad for recycling and very bad for communities that want to address the litter problem from plastic bags. So
here's an example of a state bill whose title is, seems to be doing one thing to help the environment, but actually, as you look at the details, is doing just the opposite. So it takes people like you who are keeping a close watch to tell citizens about what's actually going on and legislators.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, typically in Illinois, it's not like the federal government where you have bills that have different names than or fancy names.
Yeah.
Usually it's very specific, but, you know, this one we definitely doesn't do any recycling. So
we're down to our last 60 seconds with Jen Walling, director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Jen, tell us about your board. You have elected directors and appointed. Who appoints them?
You know, we have individual members and organization members. So our board is made up mostly of folks from the organizations that we represent. And then,
so they're appointed by those organizations?
Yeah, those are appointed by the organization, and there's a few elected folks. And, you know, from Champaign, Prairie Rivers Network, Glennis Collins is on our board and a great member. And, you know, we're always working on building our board.
We are out of time here on Keeping the Faith on this Sunday afternoon, July 8, 2012. I want to thank our guest by phone, Jennifer Walling, Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council. To learn more, go to online to ilenviro.org to learn more about this organization that's made up of, represents 60 different environmental organizations throughout the state of Illinois. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs, and I'm happy to say that I get to interview some fascinating folks, some like Jen that I've known for years and other people who are brand new to me. Coming up next week, July 15, Ardella Perry Osler, O-S-L-E-R, former teacher, has recently written a book that's come out just this year called Learning to Love Olivia, Olivia, A Daughter's Journal of Her Mother's Journey Through Alzheimer's. We'll be talking with Ardella Perry Osler next week, July 15, here on Keeping the Faith from 5 to 6 on WILL. The following week, we'll be talking with David Crowley about some current books in Christian theology that he's been reading and enjoying. On August 5th, Sean Denny will be our guest talking about the student project here at the university called the Solar Decathlon House that competed in Washington, D.C. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580.